You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Breaking news as we come on the air. The leader of Al-Qaeda killed in a U.S. airstrike in Kabul. President Biden about to address the nation. The White House says the president is coming before the cameras to announce Al-Qaeda leader Ayman al-Zawahiri has been killed in a counterterrorism operation taking place over the weekend, the successor to Osama bin Laden. The news comes just 11 months after the last U.S. troops departed Afghanistan and nearly 21 years after 9/11. Late word coming in at this hour. Martha Raddatz and Cecilia Vega standing by. Also tonight, catastrophic flooding, the death toll rising to at least 37 in Kentucky. The governor warning that number could climb even higher. Hundreds of people still unaccounted for. Dramatic video is emerging of rescues in the rising water. Residents brace for more heavy rain in the flood zone. The massive wildfire burning out of control in Northern California. The McKinney Fire is now the state's largest fire this year. More than 55,000 acres burned, more than 100 structures destroyed. At least two people killed, apparently trying to escape the flames. Matt Gutman on the fire line. Ginger Z tonight on the red flag warnings in the West and the new flood watch issued for eastern Kentucky. Severe storms possible in the same area. The monkeypox outbreak spreading in the U.S., more than 5,200 cases reported. The Biden administration is now under growing pressure to declare a national health emergency. New York City and Illinois declaring public health emergencies today, and the CDC warning for children 8 and under. Despite growing threats from China, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is expected to visit Taiwan during her trip to Asia this week, what the White House is now saying. NFL quarterback Deshaun Watson suspended six games following dozens of allegations of sexual misconduct and after Watson agreed to settle 23 of 24 lawsuits against him. And paying tribute to two trailblazers on the basketball court, on the screen, and in life. Voices for change, equality, opportunity, and social justice influencing generations.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us on this Monday. I'm Lindsay Davis in for David. We begin tonight with breaking news. The leader of Al-Qaeda killed in a U.S. airstrike in Kabul. President Biden is about to address the nation. The Al-Qaeda leader, one of the world's most wanted terrorists, was the successor to Osama bin Laden. He helped plan the 9/11 attack nearly 21 years ago. Sources say he was killed in a counterterrorism operation over the weekend after evading the U.S. for two decades. The news comes 11 months after the last American troops withdrew from Afghanistan. Cecilia Vega is standing by at the White House. ABC's chief global affairs correspondent Martha Raddatz leads us off.
He has been in hiding for more than 20 years, one of the world's most wanted terrorists. But tonight, sources tell ABC News that the United States finally caught up with Ayman al-Zawahiri, killing the al-Qaeda leader in a weekend drone strike in Afghanistan. An administration official calling it a successful counterterrorism operation, adding there were no civilian casualties. Zawahiri was Osama bin Laden's number two and a key strategist behind al-Qaeda's most vicious attacks against America. The assault on American soldiers in Somalia in 1993, the bombing of the U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania in 1998, the suicide bombing on the USS Cole in Yemen, and on September 11, 2001, the plot that destroyed the World Trade Center, left a gaping hole in the Pentagon, and claimed nearly 3,000 lives. President George W. Bush vowing to bring the terrorists to justice.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
A decade later, the next president announcing U.S. Special Forces had killed their number one target.
After a firefight, they killed Osama bin Laden and took custody of his body.
But Zawahiri remained elusive, hiding out in the border region between Afghanistan and Pakistan.
Fascinating just how long he managed to evade authorities. Martha Raddatz joins us now live from Washington. And Martha, it turns out Zawahiri wasn't in a cave in the mountains when he was killed. He was right in the center of Kabul.
Lindsay, right in the center of Kabul and in one of its wealthiest neighborhoods. It was the first strike in Afghanistan since we pulled out U.S. forces last year when the Taliban took over, which may have emboldened Zawahiri, but the CIA stayed after him, and it was a CIA drone that took him out. Lindsay?
Martha, thank you. We know President Biden is planning to address the nation tonight. As Martha just pointed out, he was right there in the Situation Room more than a decade ago when American Special Forces took out Osama bin Laden. ABC's Chief White House Correspondent Cecilia Vega joins us now. And Cecilia, tonight's announcement, certainly a long time coming.
A long time coming. Lindsay, Biden is now the fourth American president who has tried to hunt and capture al-Zawahiri. Look, this is arguably one of the biggest terrorist takedowns since bin Laden. The State Department had this $25 million bounty on his head. He's been on the FBI's list of most wanted terrorists around the globe. But the timing of this tonight, Lindsay, is worth noting. This time last year, President Biden was pulling troops out of Afghanistan. At the time, the White House faced pushback, frankly, for saying that it would continue to be able to hunt down and track terrorists down in Afghanistan after American troops were gone. Lindsay, they have shown tonight that that is still a possibility.
All right, Cecilia Vega from the White House for us. And we move on now to the catastrophic flooding in Kentucky. The death toll rose again today with hundreds of people still missing in the flooding. And rain is once again targeting the flood zone in the eastern part of the state, much of which has been underwater since last week. At least 37 people are dead, hundreds of people still unaccounted for. Governor Andy Beshear is warning residents more flooding might be on the way. ABC's Eva Pilgrim reports in from Kentucky.
Tonight, the death toll rising to at least 37 in the catastrophic Kentucky floods. Four siblings among them, their parents clinging to a tree while also trying to hold on to their children as floodwaters rapidly rose. But the brothers and sisters, ranging from 2 to 8 years old, swept away. Their parents survived. Rescuers desperately searching for survivors 5 days after the flooding.
There are hundreds of unaccounted for people, minimum. And we just don't have a firm grasp on that. I wish we did.
The Kentucky National Guard saying 400 people have been rescued by helicopter. Tonight, new stories emerging of the sheer heroism. Neighbors helping neighbors. The Amberge family in Whitesburg posting an urgent call for help on social media. Family members, including their 98-year-old grandmother, May, trapped inside their home, surrounded by rising floodwaters.
I was afraid, obviously, for my brother, my grandmother, and my uncle.
J.D. Griffin rushing to rescue the family in shoulder-high, fast-moving water as helpless neighbors watched in horror.
When he's in the house, he's in there 2 minutes, what seemed like for 2 hours. I thought that he'd already died. So he emerges out and he creeps his way down to the front door.
Family members say they all survived. 12,000 still without power as some more rain falling in the area. We made the journey to Neon, the town flooded for a second time today, going through multiple mudslides to find a downtown completely decimated. The loss to these communities in eastern Kentucky hitting people hard.
The damage around here is pretty bad.
It looks like a war zone around here. We need the most help you've ever seen in your life.
A massive effort necessary there. Eva joins us now right in the thick of the flood zone in Kentucky. And Eva, you visited several hard-hit communities today. What are the people telling you?
Lindsay, just what that man just said, they need help. They know this is going to be a long recovery. One man telling me that the infrastructure is so old, they can't simply replace it. So it could be months, not weeks, before some of these communities have basic things like running water again. Lindsay.
Wow, Eva, thank you. From massive flooding to the destructive wildfire in Northern California, the McKinney Fire is now the largest fire in the state this year. More than 55,000 acres destroyed, at least 2 people killed, apparently while trying to escape the flames. Homes and structures up in flames. Nearly 2,000 people have been forced to evacuate, and more evacuations could come at any moment. Here's ABC's Chief National Correspondent, Matt Gutman.
Firefighters at California's biggest fire so far this year, battling freak weather, walls of flames, and a slab of smoke thousands of feet thick. The McKinney Fire exploding from just a few hundred acres on Friday to more than 53,000 acres tonight. So far, at least 100 structures destroyed, this chimney, the only thing left standing at this home. The fire blasting through the Klamath National Forest like a flamethrower. Just outside the community of Klamath River, at least two people killed.
Fire was everywhere. It was so scary.
Today we traveled to that area with Sherry Marchetti Perot, who lost everything and fears her uncle John Cogan may also be among the dead.
My uncle was sitting right there in that chair, I think, that is no longer there.
Have you heard from your uncle since?
No, he had to have died. He had to have died. He's not. He was right there.
Sherry said they had to leave everything behind as the flames raced towards them. Officials say they don't typically see this kind of supercharged weather until later in the season. Nearby Mount Shasta seeing an all-time record high of 106 degrees on Friday, the day the fire broke out. Mount Shasta also a victim of the mega drought, creating tinderbox conditions and leaving less water for firefighters to battle the flames.
Are you okay?
Back in that community, one of the things Sherry thought she'd lost was Patches. But on Saturday, Patches was discovered by a photographer near a burnt-out home. Tonight, Patches is reunited with his family.
At least a few happy endings to report there. Matt Gutman joins us now live from the scene tonight. And Matt, as firefighters battle the flames, what are you learning about the investigation into the cause?
Investigators have just said, Lindsay, that they have determined that lightning was not a cause of this fire, which means it's much more likely that it was human-caused, either by an errant spark or even downed power lines. But just to go back to that woman, Sherry, we were with her in the debris just moments ago, Lindsay, as they discovered what they believe to be the remains of her Uncle John. Wow. Lindsay.
He did succumb to the fire after all. Matt, our thanks to you. We're also tracking severe storms tonight and that new flood watch issued for eastern Kentucky. More red flag warnings in the west and record heat moving across the country. Let's get right to ABC's chief meteorologist, Ginger Z. What do you know about it, Ginger?
Yeah, Lindsay, just west of Cincinnati, there's a tornado warning right now. There's another one in West Virginia. We've already seen wind gusts upwards of 70 miles per hour in Fishers, Indiana. So look at that map there. The severe thunderstorm watches up from southern Indiana through Louisville and southern Ohio. I think we'll see that march east. And unfortunately, with the damaging wind threat, then comes heavy rain in the place we do not need it. 1 to 2 inch per hour rainfall rates on a morning like this morning where we started with flash flood warnings in eastern Kentucky. You don't want it. So by tomorrow morning, those should lift. Now, I also want to point out that out west, there are monsoon moisture adding up, so much of Nevada into Death Valley in a flash flood watch. Red flag warnings with all of the uncontained wildfires as far east as western Nebraska, where several people lost their home just this weekend. And then that heat building with heat advisories from Oklahoma up to the Twin Cities, this coming after Houston, Tampa, Memphis, among many cities that have already started with the hottest summer on record. Lindsay?
From the flames to the flooding to the heat, people just cannot get a break. Ginger, our thanks to you. Next tonight, NFL quarterback Deshaun Watson suspended for 6 games following dozens of allegations of sexual misconduct. Watson agreed to settle 23 of 24 lawsuits against him, but denies doing anything wrong. The league wanted him suspended for at least the entire season. Here's ABC's Maria Villarreal.
Within hours of his announced suspension, NFL quarterback Deshaun Watson back on the field practicing. Cleveland Browns fans cheering him on. Watson sidelined for 6 games following accusations of sexual misconduct and violating the league's personal conduct policy. The allegations contained in at least 24 civil lawsuits where he was accused of sexual assault and inappropriate conduct during massage sessions. All but one have been settled out of court with no admission of wrongdoing. Around the same time, Watson's former team, the Houston Texans, settled 30 lawsuits regarding claims of his misconduct. Disciplinary officer Sue L. Robinson, a former federal judge, stating Watson used his status as an NFL player as a pretext to engage in a premeditated pattern of predatory behavior toward multiple women. The NFL's investigation conducted by two former prosecutors. The decision finding Mr. Watson engaged in sexual assault as defined by the NFL against the four therapists identified in the report. Mr. Watson violated the policy in this regard. The NFL initially asked for an open-ended suspension of at least a year and a fine of at least $5 billion. But Robinson finding Watson's actions did not fall into the category of violent conduct that would support a more severe disciplinary action. Today, the NFL stating the league is reviewing Judge Robinson's imposition of a 6-game suspension and will make a determination on next steps.
Watson and the Players Association have agreed to the suspension, and they are urging the NFL to do the same. The league now has 3 days to make their decision. Do they agree, or will they appeal the suspension? Lindsay?
We'll know soon. Maria, thank you. News tonight about the monkeypox outbreak spreading across the country. Nearly 5,200 cases reported. The Biden administration is now under growing pressure to declare a national health emergency. New York City and Illinois both took their own action today. Here's ABC's Stephanie Ramos.
Tonight, the state of Illinois joining San Francisco and New York City in declaring a public health emergency over monkeypox. With cases climbing and low vaccine supply, officials are pushing for quick access to more vaccines.
I think we still have a chance to slow this thing down if we can get shots into arms as quickly as possible, and to do so in the most equitable way possible.
New York City, now the epicenter of the outbreak, with a quarter of the country's 5,200 cases. Tonight, there is mounting pressure on the Biden administration to declare a national public health emergency.
With excellent data, with excellent contact tracing, with a great case investigation, and with widespread access to vaccine, we might be able still to get in front of this. But the window is closing.
So far, infections have been mainly among men who have sex with other men. But experts stress the outbreak could have started anywhere.
Anyone out there can get infected, as the virus can spread from that close contact, including skin-to-skin contact.
At least two more children have been infected in Indiana, a total of four now in the U.S. And while symptoms usually go away, the CDC warns that those at risk of developing more serious illness include kids under the age of eight and people with compromised immune systems.
Stephanie Ramos joins us live. Stephanie, some experts are also concerned about the spread of monkeypox on college campuses at this point.
Exactly, Lindsay. Dr. Ramon, for instance, says this virus is able to spread efficiently through very dense social networks like on college campuses. For now, the CDC says to prevent infection, people should avoid close skin-to-skin contact with people who appear to have a rash that looks like monkeypox. Also, don't share things like utensils or towels, and wash your hands often. Lindsay.
We've heard that before. All right, Stephanie, our thanks to you. Now to rising tensions over House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's trip to Asia. Despite growing threats from China, she could well visit Taiwan tomorrow. If she does, China says it will take strong countermeasures to defend their sovereignty and territorial integrity. Let's go back to Cecilia Vega at the White House. And Cecilia, the Biden administration clearly taking these threats very seriously.
Yeah, they really are, Lindsay. And look, in addition to the rhetoric that you're hearing from Beijing tonight, the White House is issuing a stark warning saying that China could fire missiles around Taiwan, potentially even breaching airspace and waters in the region. They say this type of military provocation could go well beyond what we have seen from Beijing in the past. Look, you'll remember President Biden made it clear. He said the military did not think it was a good idea for Pelosi to take this trip. That tonight, the White House is making it crystal clear, saying that if she does indeed go through with this trip, it is the administration's, Lindsay, responsibility to ensure she can travel safely and securely.
Bated breath there. We are waiting for that. Cecilia Vega from the White House once again. When we come back, the longest sentence yet for a January 6th rioter, and could prices at the pump soon be going back up? Those details ahead.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Next tonight, today, a judge handed down the longest sentence yet for the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. Guy Reffitt received more than 7 years behind bars for leading an armed charge against police. He was the first person from the riot to take his case to trial, a recruiter for the far-right group, the Three Percenters. He was also convicted of threatening his son, who turned him into the FBI and then testified against him at trial. To the index, rising gas prices could be just around the corner. AAA says that increasing oil prices and higher demand could cause prices to go back up. While most Americans change their driving habits, the drop in the cost of a gallon of gas is leading people to drive more. Now at $4.21 per gallon, the national average for gas has fallen for seven straight weeks. Finally tonight, America Strong. Over the weekend, we lost two trailblazers, Nichelle Nichols and Bill Russell, who both taught us to go where no man or black woman had gone before. After decades of blazing trails and breaking ground, over the weekend, tributes poured in for celebrated NBA player Bill Russell and Nichelle Nichols, an actress who broke barriers.
Her family saying her light, like the ancient galaxies now being seen for the first time, will remain for us and future generations to enjoy. Both stars shine brightly. In November of 1968, as Lieutenant Uhura on the Star Trek franchise, Nichols shared what's widely believed to be the first interracial kiss on American TV with William Shatner. Just 6 months before, Bill Russell, the first black coach in NBA history, led the Boston Celtics to take the championship, just one of 11 titles he won during his 13-year playing career.
This is your NASA.
Nichols' influence extended far beyond television. She partnered with NASA to recruit some of the first female and minority astronauts. Similarly, Russell was always reaching for the stars. Not content with just winning on the court, he was a champion, too, in the struggle for civil rights.
He marched with King. He stood by Ali. When a restaurant refused to serve the black Celtics, he refused to play in the scheduled game.
While Russell marched with Martin Luther King, Nichols says it was King who talked her into staying on Star Trek when she wanted to leave for Broadway.
He said, "For the first time on television, we will be seen as we should be seen every day."
And in the end, Russell's and Nichols both served as teachers, giving us all a lesson in how to live and prosper.
Russell was 88, Nichols 89. Lives well lived. Our thank you for watching. As we mentioned, ABC News will have live coverage of President Biden's address to the nation at 7:30 Eastern. I'm Lindsay Davis. Good night.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table.
What is happening here?
It's just beautiful chaos.
Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view.
To be honest, I was thinking about asking him for a foot massage, and then I just froze.
This is the best gig on TV.
And you know, anything can happen.
That is what we do here.
I'm not going to lie, the chair's a little small for my behind.
The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.